Is it just me, or do you see as many unhappy Christians as I do? Huh? Of all the people in the world, why shouldn't we be the most excited about our faith? If it was anyone that should be giving thanks, it is those of us that have been forgiven for our sins, taken from the clutches of Satan and placed into the arms of God. People that have no right to come into the presence of God are now called sons and daughters of God. With so much to be thankful for, why do you think we see so many believers that are ungrateful, sometimes angry, and many times living an unfulfilled life? I think part of the problem is that we have bought into the notion that life, my time here on earth, is all for me. It's about my expectations. It's about my goals, my self-esteem, my self-worth, my fulfillment, my enjoyment. We even have books being written by some of the leading so-called evangelicals to feed this life is all about me mentality. A number of years ago, Joel Osteen wrote a book called Your Best Life Now. And this is what the publisher said about the book. This is how he describes it. Pastor Joel Osteen realizes that deep within us is a voice that doubts our self-worth. And it does its best to destroy our dreams. For this reason, he is committed to helping us exchange our insecurities for a godly self-image, discover our own personal strengths and abilities so that we can live out our best life now. See, the philosophy, even entering the church today, is all about me. It's all about how I feel about myself. And the world tries to do the same thing. The state of California recently spent $800,000 how many Bibles could you buy for $800,000? That would be a lot. Yeah, that would be a lot. They spent $800,000 on a study to demonstrate the connection between the good self-esteem and the social ills of our day. Their premise was if we can only feel good about ourselves, the problems within our society would improve. Now, the problem with this is that the study didn't bear it out. The results of this $800,000 study were published in the book, The Social Importance of Self-Esteem. Dr. Neil Schmelzer, the professor who was hired to summarize the data, said, "One of the disappointing aspects of every chapter in this volume is how low the association between self-esteem and its consequences are in research to date." See, as believers, our fulfillment as Christians, our value and purpose doesn't come when I focus on myself. It only comes when I lay down my life and follow after God. When I choose to put down my desires and embrace God's plan for my life. When I actually use my gifts and my abilities and my life for others. Turn your Bibles, if you would, with me this morning to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and see what Jesus has to say about this. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 24. Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 16. We'll start reading in verse 24. Jesus, he's talking to his disciples, and he says this in verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. And then he will reward each person according to what he has done. A Christian, a believer, doesn't become fulfilled if they have great self-esteem or if they live out their dreams. This is what the world wants to tell you. And granted, it does. It has that fulfillment, it has that excitement, it has that funness to it, but it's only for a short time. It doesn't have a long-term effect. If we want to feel fulfilled as God has designed us, then we need to listen to what God says when he writes this. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to our Christian brothers and sisters. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. For you that are visiting this morning, we are in a series, and our series is entitled Spiritual Gifts. Spiritual Gifts, and we've been looking at the motivational gifts in Romans chapter 12. God has given, if you are a follower of Christ, if you've come to know Christ in a personal way, God has given every one of us at least one, and for some, multiple, but at least one spiritual gift. And we need to understand that this gift isn't for us. This gift is for us to use in the life of you. This gift is not to be used on ourselves. It's for the betterment of this family. It's for the betterment of the body of Christ, as well as those unsaved people that God brings into your life. When we are using our gifts, not only does it help and bless those we minister to, it is only then that you and I will find our purpose for our lives. It is only then that we will find that fulfillment that we've been dreaming of and looking for. And it is only at that time that we will have the greatest satisfaction we could ever experience. See, it's all about serving others as we lose our life in obedience to God. It's only then will we truly find it. And when we find it, when we find our place in the body of Christ, is when we will be able to find the very things that many spend their whole life looking for. So Romans chapter 12, if you haven't turned to it yet, turn to that in your Bible if you would. Romans chapter 12, as we read verses 1 to 8 this morning. Romans chapter 12, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 12. This is our passage that we've been looking at, Romans chapter 12. And we'll start reading in verse 1. Paul's writing, he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Verse 4, Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is service, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. Now, we don't have time to review all the, it's been a couple weeks, but we don't have time to review the gifts we've already looked at. But if you've missed out on any of the messages, you can go to our website and the complete series is there. And we've looked at the gifts, we've looked at them in three different ways. First of all, we've looked at what the gift looks like when you're walking in the flesh. Then we looked at how this gift can be misunderstood. And then how the gift looks when you're walking in the flesh. So far, we've looked at the gift of prophecy, the gift of serving, the gift of teaching, and the gift of exhortation or encouraging. Today, we're going to look at the gift of giving. Look at verse 8 again with me. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. You know, I believe that our motivational gifts can be changed from time to time based on the work that God has us to do. I believe that depending on the assignment that God gives us, the strength of a particular gift may vary. For me, one of my gifts, strong gifts, has always been the gift of giving. It's been a major force in my life. And I just love to give. But my struggle with giving is to determine, when I see a need, is to determine whether God is motivating me or whether I'm being motivated by myself. See, too often when I see a response, my response is to just jump on that opportunity instead of asking God what he wants me to do. And whatever your spiritual gift is, every one of us needs to make sure that when we use it, it is God motivating us and not us motivating us. Now, if you remember in our study, we've assigned a New Testament character to each gift. When we looked at the gift of prophecy, anybody remember what person in the New Testament we said probably more than likely had the gift of prophecy? No, not Paul. He's a guy that he sees things black and white. He's kind of in your face. Somebody said Peter. Yeah, Peter. We thought Peter had the gift of prophecy. And then we also looked at the gift of serving. And we said it very well could have been one of Paul's disciples, Timothy. And then we looked at the gift of teaching. Remember, we said this guy wrote more, he was very detailed. He wrote down more information on the birth of Christ than all the other gospels combined. Yeah, Luke had the gift of teaching. And then our last gift, the gift of encouraging or exhortation, we said was who? Yeah, Paul was always the encourager, wasn't he? Or exhorting people to do what they knew they should be doing. Well, this morning, we want to look at the gift of giving. And anybody want to guess who that might be? What New it might surprise you. What New Testament character would have the gift of giving? Jesus, he had all of them. So if you give Jesus as an answer to any of them, you will always be right. How about Matthew? Why would that surprise us? Because he was a tax collector. You thought he would have the gift of taking money instead of giving money. And he very well may have had that gift before he met Christ. But Peter speaks more about Matthew speaks more about the wise use of money than any other gospel writer. He gives the greatest detail about the treasures given to Jesus at his birth. Matthew's the only one that talks about secret giving. He's the only one that tells us about the 30 pieces of silver given to Judas for denying Christ. And we could continue on, but it seems like Matthew had a good grasp on this money thing. You and I need to understand that you do not need to be wealthy to have the gift of giving. Now, I know, I have friends of mine that are wealthy that have the gift of giving. But I also know that I have the gift of giving. And there's been times in our lives, usually in my life, we have very little to give. So from God's perspective, it really doesn't matter what you have as much as it does how you use what you have when it comes to the gift of giving. So what does this gift of giving look like when you're walking in the Spirit? Well, this is easy for me. So I'm going to give you my top 10 list of what it looks like to walk in the Spirit and have the gift of giving. Now, that person that just passed out beside you, revive them and tell them I'm only looking at 5 today. All right? 5 this morning. 5 of my top 10 list. Now, not necessarily in any particular order, but here is my top 10 list. If you have the gift of giving and you're walking in the Spirit, number one, those people, they just love to give. If you have the gift of giving, then your tendency is to want to give all the time. You just love doing it. They see things that others overlook. Judy could have the gift of giving, but she doesn't. She has the gift of saving. She's my helper, so she saves us money and makes it possible for me to give more away. I love that, how that works. I mean, she'll see deals in the store that most people miss. She'll spend time walking. That's why I don't like go shopping with her. She'll spend time walking from store to store to save money on something. She's even willing to wait. She's even willing to wait for a price to come down before she buys it. Impulsive me, I'm just all over buying it right at that time. She spends hours looking through store flyers and cutting out coupons, saving our family money, which in turn gives us more money to give away. She's a great helper to this guy so that I'm able to use my spiritual gift. See, Judy is motivated to save money for our family, which is good. But one of the thousands of things I love about Judy is that she's willing to save money so that we can give more money away. They love to give. That's just a characteristic of a person that has the gift of giving. Because those of us that have the gift of giving love to give. Secondly, they love to reinvest. They love to reinvest. The person with the gift of giving usually doesn't just give money to any request or any project. The person with the gift of giving likes to give to ministries or people where they've already made an investment. For an example, even though I love to give, I usually don't just give money to anyone. The money we give is to people that we have either ministered with or ministered to. Like you, like many of you, I get many requests for funds. And even though I have the gift of giving, I'm not moved by every request. It's the needs of those we know, the needs of those that we have ministered with and that we have worked with, that we have done ministry with, that pulls on the heart of the giver. The person with the gift of giving doesn't want to just give money. They also want to give of themselves. They want to be part of what's going on. They want to pray for those people. They want to visit and minister with these people. They want to give more than just money. The person that has the spiritual gift of giving wants to give themselves. When it comes to the gift of giving, when they're walking in the Spirit, usually the heart goes before the money. Third thing, they love to give quality things. They love to give quality things. The person with the gift of giving does not give you junk. The person with the gift of giving, when they're walking in the Spirit, okay? When they're walking in the flesh, they can do some crazy things. And we'll look at that later. But when they are walking in the Spirit, they're not going to stop at your house on the way to the dump and say, I was thinking about you, and I thought maybe you could use some of this stuff. We laugh, but I can't tell you how many missionaries they've told me about people just wanting to give them junk. Things that they don't want. The person with the gift of giving, when they are walking in the Spirit, loves to give you things of quality. They will give you brand name things, or they'll give you more expensive things, nicer things. I'll give you one example. I could give you many, but I'll give you one. I remember Judy was shopping for the ladies' retreat, and she bought fake double stuff. I couldn't imagine. That's exactly right. That's exactly what my response was. My first response was, Judy, how could you do this? How could you buy this fake stuff for these ladies? When we go to purchase things for other people, I always will say to her, Judy, don't buy the cheap stuff. Buy the more expensive stuff. Buy the brand name stuff. Now, in my home, we eat the cheap stuff. Except for double stuff. We do splurge on that. But we eat the cheap stuff. Judy very rarely I shouldn't say that. She mostly buys the brand name stuff, but only because she's got it, she's beat them down to giving it to us. But if I'm going to give something to someone else, my gift tells me to give them the nicer things. Give them the best that you can. People with the gift of giving don't just give to give. They want you to know that you are important to them, that they care about you. That's why they like to give you nice things. Sometimes even nicer things than they give to themselves. Fourthly, when this person is walking in the Spirit, they love to be an answer to prayer. They just love to be an answer to prayer. They love to meet needs. If they feel led to give to someone, they want the urging to be from God because they want their gift to be an answer to that person's prayer. They get fulfillment when they know that they have been an answer to someone's prayer. I've shared this story with you before, but I remember when we were in Bible school, and it was our first week in town, and we needed money for groceries. Judy prayed, and you can tell how long ago this story is, because she prayed for $50. She prayed for $50 so that we could get groceries. And that morning, on the way back from walking our oldest son, Jamie, to the school bus, there was a $50 bill in our screen door. To this day, we have no idea who gave it. But they were an answer that day to Judy's prayer. The person that gave us this money didn't know that we had financial needs. There is no way they knew, because Judy and I had made the commitment that we weren't going to tell anybody about our needs other than God. But this person gave the money because God knew we had a need. And this person was willing to meet that need. You know, many people today do not give because they are not aware of a need. No one asks them to give anything, so they're under the assumption that there's no need at all. And I'm not saying whether that's right or wrong, but my point is this. The person with the gift of giving, when they are walking in the Spirit, loves to give. Not because they see a need or hear of a need, although that's part of it sometimes, but they love to give because they have felt God's nudge and have acted on it because they love to be an answer to someone's prayer. Then the last one this morning is this. They love to give secretly. They love to give secretretly. Do you have people in your life that just won't let you forget what they've done for you? Do you have anybody like that? Maybe they've helped you out in a situation, or they've given you money, or they did something, and they keep reminding you of that all the time. They are always reminding you of what they did or what they gave or how they stepped up for you. Me, because of my spiritual gift, and this is true, Judah will tell you this, I cannot tell you what we have given or who we have helped. When I see people, I don't think, well, you know what, we did this for them, or we gave them this, or we stepped up and did this. It's just not there. Now, some of it may be because I'm old, but it really isn't. Well, I really am old, but that's not really my reason. My reason is because that's how a person with the spiritual gift of giving thinks. When they give something, they give it. You have people in your life that maybe did something for you or gave you money, and then they got mad at you because you didn't handle it the way they thought you should handle it? That won't happen with a person with the gift of giving when they're walking in the Spirit. When they're walking in the flesh, that's a different story. Because that's not why they give. I got to tell you, not only can I forget, not only can I remember what I haven't done for other people, I can't even remember what I've done for my kids. What Judy and I have done for our kids. The person with the gift of giving, when he is walking in the Spirit, doesn't keep records. Matter of fact, he doesn't even care if you know the source of the gift. The person with the gift of giving does not have to be recognized for his gift. He doesn't need a building named after him, and he doesn't need to be made of. He just loves to give to meet needs. And he finds fulfillment and contentment in that. The person walking in the Spirit doesn't give for instant gratification. They are willing to wait, even though they may have to wait until heaven. They're willing to wait for God to reveal their good works. A guy came up to me just a couple weeks ago. And I know that they have the gift of giving. I mean, it's because it's just in their lives. And you know what? It should be in your life too. When you tell someone, I have the gift of mercy, or I have the gift of encouragement, or whatever your gift might be, people shouldn't be surprised. People should be able to look at your life and say, wow, I see that gift in him. That's surely how God has designed him. Well, it was true of this individual. And they came to me and they said, I want to do this for this person. I want you to go out and I want you to buy this gift card and I want you to give it to this person to help them. But they said, I don't want you to tell them who gave it. Why? Because he was living out his gift. It wasn't to be able to be recognized or thanked, but he was living out his gift. He was walking in the Spirit and living out his gift, and he didn't need instant gratification. He did it because that's how God's designed him to work. And God has designed you and I to work in particular ways. And let me just say this as well. These 10 things, if you see a couple of them, you say, well, I don't have those, so I must not have the gift of giving. That's not the point of this. It's an overview. And sometimes if you have the gift of prophecy and the gift of giving, giving may look a little different than it does with a person with mercy and giving, or exhortation and giving, or serving and giving. All right, so this is an overview. But my current encouragement to you is this. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, you should ask people what they see in your life. And if they say, I can't see anything, then you need to ask God why. Because every one of us has a gift. Every one of us, God says, we need to be using it in this body, in His body. So the gift of giving. I love it because that's how God's wired me to be. Now, there are times when you have to tell people how much you give. If you want to get a tax receipt from the church, then the church treasurer will know how much you give. Sometimes you have to inform people of what you've done. But that is never, when they're walking in the Spirit, that is never their motivation. If the government was to come into this place and say, from now on, there will be no tax receipts for gifts, that may affect some of you, but it would never affect the person that has the gift of giving, because they don't give for receipts. They give because that's when they feel fulfilled. When God says to do it and they do it, they feel fulfilled. Now, let me just say this. There's nothing wrong with giving to get receipts. Okay, I know there's some people that feel, and I'm not saying here, I'm not sure if it's here, but some people feel, well, I don't give for the receipt because I don't want the government to know, and that's all fine, and I don't want other people to know. I give receipts because I get money back. And the more money I get back, the more money I can give away, because that's my gift. So some of you might want to get really close to me, become a real good friend. Let me just close with one thought, all right, then we'll be done. You may be here this morning and you're thinking, praise God, I do not have the gift of giving, so I don't have to give. Well, you may think that, but that's not what God says. You may not be motivated to give by your spiritual gift, but every one of us is commanded to give. Now, about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian church to do. On the first day of every week, and what day would that be? That would be today, Sunday, right? On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves the person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8. Tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. But their trust should be in the living God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in what? Good works, and should give generously to those in need. Always be ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of real life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. And then let me just close with the words of Jesus, who said this. Well then, he said, give to Caesar, that would be our government, give to Caesar what belongs to him, but everything that belongs to God must be given to God. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 21. The gift of giving. I have it and I love it. But no matter what your spiritual gift is, it's when you use that gift in the body of Christ that will bring you your greatest fulfillment. I want to close with a song this morning.